You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of both Locked On Ravens and Locked On Chiefs. Kevin Ostrecker of Locked On Ravens here with Locked On Chiefs host Chris Clark. And Chris, this is a matchup that I think a lot of people are looking forward to between the Ravens and the Chiefs here in week two. But to start off this episode, I think we should go back and look at week one for a bit, because both the Ravens and the Chiefs had thrilling, phenomenal games. Now, one of the teams we covered here got off on finished that game on the winning side, the other on the losing side. But I do want to start with Kansas City here, going up against the division rival for the Ravens and the Cleveland Browns. And this was a game, Chris, that I just think all in all, people had counted the Chiefs out, especially the way they were playing defense in the first half. Now, I give the Chiefs a lot of credit for playing defense. I think phenomenal defense in that second half, coming out with a very clutch win. Obviously, Baker Mayfield throws that interception at the end to seal the deal. But I never, never count out the Kansas City Chiefs, especially after what I saw a couple years ago against that Houston Texans team in the playoffs, where the Chiefs came back 24-0 was that score, made it all up in the second quarter, just something you almost never, ever, ever see in this league. But Chris, what did you think of the Chiefs' overall performance in that first game against Cleveland? Because it didn't look promising at first, but the Chiefs came out and ended up getting the win.
You know, first off, I got to say really quick, I'm impressed that you want to talk about week one after the way your game ended. But and that's not a shot at you. It just was really painful to watch. But what I will say about the Chiefs game, I do think that, I think offensively, I think they look very good at times. I think that they, Mahomes is starting to understand that defenses are going to play him a certain way when they feel like they can get pressure on the quarterback. And they were getting some pressure on him. I mean, that's a brand new offensive line, so it's expected to have some kind of pressure allowed. So I do think the offense played okay. But then you start looking at what the defense did. The defense stepped up in the second half. But you have to remember, they're also without Tyrann Mathieu. They're without Frank Clark. They're also without Willie Gay, who's a starting linebacker for him and has a lot of speed, which would have helped against the running game. I do think that it's really hard to ever count out Mahomes. I think I saw a stat today that said Mahomes is 10-6. He's got an over 600% or 600 winning percentage when he is down more than 10 points in the game. If you get him down more than 10 points a game, he still wins 6 out of 10 of those games. And it's insane. And, you know, the next closest guy is Tom Brady, and he's at like 300%. I don't know how you go about beating Mahomes with the way he's been playing. And honestly, I do think that he is a cerebral passer, but I do think that he also is able to get the entire team to ascend at times. And I think that's what you saw on Sunday. With that touchdown pass to Tyreek Hill, it seemed to light up the entire team. The defense, special teams, all of it. So a lot of fun to watch. Now, if we flip it over to your team, though, how do you react to something like that? Because you guys, and I hate saying it this way, and I'm not trying to make fun, but you guys practically lost that game twice in 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden you get a turnover and you're like, oh, well, we're gonna have this chance. And yeah.
It was, I guess, brutal to see that happen, twice. Bryan Edwards seemingly gets the ball over, the game's over, the game's not over, there's an interception at the goal. It's just all this crazy stuff happens in overtime. But honestly, Chris, the Ravens should have won this game in regulation. Lamar Jackson leads the offense down the field, gets Justin Tucker in field goal range, and Justin Tucker nails a field goal. 37 seconds left. The Raiders have no timeouts, and they start very deep in their own territory. And the Raiders pick up, I don't know the exact yardage number, but it was a lot of yards in 2 plays, no timeouts for the Raiders again. They kick a field goal with Daniel Carlson. The game goes to overtime. So the Ravens defense struggled in this one at times. Don Martindale was sending blitzes over and over and over again. And that's his identity. He's not going to go away from that. But the loss of former Chief Marcus Peters for the season with a torn ACL really does hurt this defense. I think, with both him and Edwards getting injured back-to-back plays, they've lost J.K. Dobbins. They have 14 players on injured reserve currently. That is equivalent to 26.4% of a 53-man roster. So the Ravens, I mean, the NFL is just in week two right now. They've only played one regular season game and they have all those injuries. But
it's like the Chargers this year.
Yeah, the 49ers last year were dealing with all those injuries. But right now, Chris, the offensive line is the key issue for the Ravens. And obviously the Chiefs have a good friend of Baltimore and Orlando Brown Jr. on their offensive line. The Ravens now are working with Alejandro Villanueva instead of Orlando Brown, which is a pretty big drop off. And Villanueva did not have a good game on Monday. Ronnie Stanley still getting back to his form after suffering a pretty gruesome leg injury towards the middle of the 2020 season. Bradley Bozeman played really well at center. His new position, Kevin Zeitler, a mixed bag, but Lamar Jackson just did not have time to throw in this one. Did not have time to think. He did have a couple of fumbles, which he will need to clean up on. Those were big ones that led to Raider points, but the Ravens went up 14-0 early in this game. And it seemed like they were kind of forcing the ball to be thrown a bit. The Ravens are a run team. They have established a run and have been a very historical rushing offense, but with Dobbins gone, with Edwards gone, with Hill gone, they've had to rely on players who have not been on their offense. They've lost every carry, yard, and touchdown from players who were in their offense in 2020. They're going with a completely new running back room this season. So I just think that there's a lot to clean up. This is going to be, a sloppy few weeks for the Ravens early in the year. Not that they can't win games, but it's going to take some time for everybody to gel and time for everybody to adjust there for the Ravens in particular. But, Chris, I do want to go back to your game and talk a bit about that Chiefs defense and how they adjusted from the first half to the second half. And I think a lot of people can admit the first half of defense for Kansas City was not wonderful. Yeah, very rough. And I tweeted out, I said, look, if the Chiefs play defense like they're playing right now in that first half, the Ravens could put 40 on them in week two. Now, obviously, I don't expect the Chiefs to play defense like that. So then again, I don't expect the Ravens to put 40 on the Chiefs. But that was
I just want to say real quick, be fair, the Browns offense is very good.
It is.
Especially with that rushing attack. So, I mean, yes, they didn't look great, but they were going against a good offense. And that at least makes you feel a little bit better about how badly they were playing.
Yeah, it does. And the Ravens also a very high-powered offense. Now, the Browns and their offense, I do want to say, there's continuity there. They barely lost any starters. Their offensive line is one of the best. The Ravens are going through a bit of changes, you know, obviously with the running backs, with the offensive line, with a couple of new pass-catching weapons. So there is a difference there. But I was very impressed, Chris, with how well the Chiefs adjusted into the second half. They tightened up things and just seemed to be a lot more confident in themselves. They got the crowd into it as well, which I think was great. So what did you see, Chris, out of the Chiefs defense from that first half, you know, really pretty bad performance, to the second half where they tightened things up and ended up coming out with the victory?
You know, I think it's just a couple of different things. I think Chris Jones having a huge impact on defense and getting a big sack. You know, Mahomes goes and throws that 75-yard touchdown pass. I believe it's the exact next play on offense for the Browns, and Jones gets a sack and puts the Browns back. A couple plays later, then the Browns are trying to punt, and they muff the punt, and they get tackled, and Kansas City scores a couple plays later. So you have two Chiefs scores in a matter of minutes. And I know we're talking defense, but that really helps the defense, because when you're sitting there and you don't have to have – your defense on the field, that was part of the problem Kansas City had in the first half, is they could not get off the field on defense. They were constantly getting just long drive after long drive after long drive after long drive. And, you know, it was mostly 10 play, 12 play, those types of drives, 70 yards, 70 yards, 80 yards. Those are the types of long drives that kill defenses. So in the second half, you saw a turnover early. Bradley Chubb fumbled the ball. That was a great play by Juan Thornhill to pop the ball out and didn't even catch it to get it recovered for Kansas City. That led to a field goal. Kansas City came back and ended up getting a touchdown shortly after that, the 75-yarder, and then they ended up getting another touchdown. So what you saw was the defense getting off the field quicker, and that gave them more rest. You also saw a rejuvenated Chris Jones, because he didn't play much in the third quarter. They rotate a lot on the defensive line. He's playing defensive end now. He got two sacks in that game that really helped their defense. I do think that it's just a combination of things. And they were playing a lot cleaner defense in the second half because Spags got stuff dialed up right going into the adjustments. And then you start looking at other things and you start seeing the players actually hitting the holes they're supposed to and being in the positions they're supposed to be and making the plays they need to make to be able to stop a team like the Browns, who's going to try to run it probably 60% of the time on you.
Yeah, and again, I was impressed with what the Chiefs were able to do on the defensive side of the ball in that second half. And the Ravens are a team that are very ball control heavy, where they like to take that time off the clock and keep the opposing defense on the field. You know, 6, 7, 8, 9, even 10 or 11 minute drives that just gas out a defense. And then if the Ravens defense in turn can get a stop on the opposing offense, and look, this is Kansas City we're talking about, so it's a little more difficult. But I do think that, you know, then the defense gets back on the field and it just, it continues that way. And the Ravens didn't really execute that enough in week one against the Raiders, and the Raiders actually won the time of possession battle against the Ravens. And that is always, you know, not so good of a sign. But we're going to head into our first break. And when we get back, I'm going to be asking Chris some questions about his Kansas City Chiefs. So stay tuned for that. But with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need into a traditional chain storefront. Why draw from pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning? And wait while the counterman orders the parts on his computer, choosing the only brand his warehouse happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Right, Locked On, and they had you here about us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Rockauto.com. And we are back with our second segment of this crossover between Locked On Ravens and Locked On Chiefs. Kevin Ostreicher, host of Locked On Ravens, still here with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs. And Chris, this Chiefs team has given the Ravens fits over the last three seasons. This is now the fourth straight year the two teams are matching up together. And a lot has changed for both sides. Obviously, the Chiefs have won a Super Bowl, gotten back to another. The Ravens have tried and have built their team around Lamar Jackson, who at the time of the first matchup between these two teams was a rookie and honestly put up a fight. And you mentioned that play in week one where the Ravens, you know, kind of had the same thing happen to them that first game where Patrick Mahomes rolls out, throws that ball to Tyreek Hill. Just a bunch of different plays that could have gone the Ravens' way, but ended up not. So starting off here with my questions to you, Chris, about the Kansas City Chiefs. I want to start on the offensive line, actually. I know a big, big storyline this offseason for the Ravens was the trade of Orlando Brown, who ended up getting traded. The Ravens got a first-round pick, a couple others back as well, but Orlando Brown seemed to struggle a bit in that opening game against Cleveland. Pro Football Focus had him for 5 pressures, tying a career high. Did you see that struggle, Chris? And what do you think it's going to take for him to fully get acclimated to that left tackle position there in Kansas City?
Reps, and more reps. I did see the struggle. And to me, you have to be fair to the player and you have to be fair to the system. And he is coming into a brand new offensive line for him. Honestly, all of those guys are brand new to the Chiefs offensive line. And I don't want to get away from Orlando Brown, but you start looking at Kansas City's offensive line. Creed Humphrey pitched a shutout, no pressures, no sacks for a rookie center starting against a very good Browns defensive line. That's going to bode well for them going forward. But when you start looking at Orlando Brown, yes, he had pressures that he allowed. He's going against Myles Garrett. I still think Myles Garrett's probably a top 3 defensive end in this league. His, you know, power and speed combination is just really hard to be able to keep him away from the QB. And the thing that really stuck out to me was I was expecting them to move Garrett around. I expected Garrett to be up against Niang some and against Brown some, but they stuck him on Brown and just let him go on Brown. And I guess I get it because it worked out for him. He got 5 pressures. They got a sack on Mahomes. But the other thing that you have to realize is you look at what Lamar Jackson did last year when Orlando Brown was playing left tackle and what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. They're not the same QB at all. Lamar is obviously a lot more mobile, and I get that. And I'm not trying to take anything away from it at all. But you look at those two different QB styles, and it was more of a running offense in Baltimore than it ever is going to be in Kansas City. So he has to be able to acclimate. He has to be able to get reps. He has to just get comfortable in the offense. And honestly, and I hate saying that word, but the other part of it is he needs to get to a point where he knows where he needs to be in his drops. Because that was the big thing is you look at some of the drops he was taking against Myles Garrett or Mahomes was taking against, you know, the Cleveland defense. And you see Orlando Brown trying to get to a spot. And it's just maybe a little too far for Orlando Brown on a guy that has that much speed. So I do think that that's something that is going to, you know, take some time to acclimate. I don't think he's going to have if you saw Myles Garrett again in the playoffs, I don't think it's going to be anything like it was this time, because he's going to be a lot more used to the offense. He's going to know the guys around him, and Mahomes is going to know him. That's the other side of it that you can't even really – we're not even taking into account. Mahomes has got to know he's – you know, he needs to be able to give his left tackle a little bit of help. If he would have stepped up on one of those sacks, he probably could have at least thrown the ball away, if not get a completion down the field, but he just stood in the pocket and took the hit. So I think Brown will be okay. He just needs reps.
Yeah, and this is nothing new, I guess, to Ravens fans, because Brown had started slow in a couple years in a Baltimore uniform. So he does need a bit of time. I think that is one of the things that will do him well. And, you know, we're talking here in Baltimore about Alejandro Villanueva and his struggles at right tackle. And, you know, I think reps will do him some good things as well. Now, Villanueva is completely moving over to the right side, and he hasn't had a lot of experience doing that, whereas Brown did have the season, or most of it, at left tackle with the Ravens. But I do think with the reps, Brown will get better. There's a reason that Brown played extremely well for the Ravens at left tackle as well as right tackle. He's a very versatile player overall. But Chris, I want to move over to the defensive side of the ball quickly and talk about Chris Jones, because just what a player he has been. Yeah. When he has been about to hit the market, every single time, you know, it's been, all right, can the Ravens get Chris Jones? What can the Ravens do to get? Because he has been my dream free agent target for the Ravens for years now. You know, to this day, if someone asked me, you know, who are like the top five players who could do well on the Ravens and who fit this team, who you would want on the Ravens, Chris Jones is there every single time. So how would the Ravens do in stopping Chris Jones with their offensive line now? What you saw in week one based off what you watched against the Raiders and their struggles there, do you think this is a game that Chris Jones can really feast on a Ravens offensive line that is still kind of putting it together? Or do you think that the Ravens can put together a game plan to kind of neutralize him?
I'd say it's going to depend on a lot on who his running mate is. If Frank Clark is able to play, I do think that's going to help. I also think the thing that I was really surprised about Myles Garrett is that he didn't move one from side to side. Kansas City will move Jones and Frank Clark around. They will move their, you know, their defensive ends around. They don't have to play on a certain side of the field. So I do think that helps. And I think that will put Jones against Villanueva in certain situations, which I honestly love that matchup for Kansas City. I can't imagine you'd be very excited about it from a Baltimore perspective, just because Jones's power and speed are going to be trouble for just about anybody. And Conklin is a very good right tackle. He made him look foolish on one of his sacks against the Browns. His jump was just amazing. And I will say, you look at him changing into a defensive end from defensive tackle, I am very impressed with his transition so far, because I was expecting a guy that wasn't going to necessarily be able to stand up like he has. The big question I'm going to have with Chris Jones is going to be, we know he can get after the passer, and that's very important, but can he be a guy like Frank Clark who shuts down his side of the field when they're trying to run at it? Because that is insanely important that a lot of people don't give defensive ends credit for. If you can shut down the side of the field, that shuts down running lanes, that stops the running game, that's a big help. And if he can do that, then that's going to be very beneficial for them.
Yeah, I agree. And Jones is just
especially against the Ravens.
Yep, just a matchup nightmare all over the field. Because you mentioned it, Kansas City can move him around and put him in different situations to be successful based off of who's struggling on the Ravens offensive line, who's doing well on the Ravens offensive line. So it's all matchups.
And they still play with DT. And they still play with DT some too. So, I mean, yeah, they can play him anywhere.
Yeah, his versatility is off the charts. But Chris, I do want to move back to offense. We're kind of going offense, defense, offense. But there is no doubt in anybody's mind that Kansas City's offense is one of the most high-powered in the NFL. And part of that has to do with Patrick Mahomes and his ability to create time for himself, whether it's just a step or two, you know, shifting away from the pressure or just rolling out altogether. Now, Baltimore's defense is one that loves to blitz. And Patrick Mahomes eats the blitz. He picks it apart. The Ravens, a key for me is the Ravens have to generate pressure without blitzing. But have you seen anything from Patrick Mahomes? You know, we can talk about week one. We can talk about what he did in the Baltimore game last year, because in that game, for example, Patrick Queen had his worst game as a pro because he just got Patrick Mahomes, Eric Bieniemy, Andy Reid picked apart that defense. So how can the Ravens make Patrick Mahomes a bit uncomfortable in that pocket on defense and maybe force him into making a couple mistakes?
You know, the big thing with beating Patrick is you have to confuse him. And that's the thing that is so hard. It's just one of the things that's always impressed me. Like, don't get me wrong, he has the physical talent. He's always had the physical talent. but his brain just puts him on a whole nother level at times. The way he knows the game, the way he knows what defenses are trying to do, you have to be able to confuse him. You have to give him a look he doesn't realize or he doesn't recognize, and you have to send pressure from somewhere he's not expecting it. And you have to be able to do that and not let somebody else get open downfield. Now, the key for that is you have to be able to play sound defense on the back end, and you have to be able to rush four. Baltimore could be, you know, a team that could do that. They're going to be missing Marcus Peters, so that's really going to hurt them. But you're in a situation where Kansas City played a Cleveland team who hardly ever blitzed Mahomes. So he was basically dinking and dunking down the field a couple of the different drives. So he's getting ready for that type of defense. So I think Baltimore stays true to what they do and they blitz him. I just don't know if it's going to work out well for him unless they're able to disguise blitzes that he's not going to expect coming from, you know, the left side, and he's expecting it from the right, or vice versa. Or, you know, you send a corner, you send a safety at different times. So I think that's what you have to do, is you have to keep mixing things up, and you have to do stuff that you haven't done before. Because even if you did it 2 years ago or 3 years ago, he's watching film from previous games. That's the thing that just is insane to me. He's such a football junkie. It's awesome.
Yeah, and Mahomes does have one of the highest football IQs, I think, in the NFL. And there are a lot of guys who do. But the Ravens, their defense is a very complex one. They love to throw different looks at quarterbacks. And for rookies, for young guys, for second-year, third-year guys who don't have a lot of starting experience or haven't really seen a defense like that before, it can confuse them. But this is the fourth straight matchup between the Ravens and the Chiefs. So both teams very, very familiar with each other. I think a key for Baltimore will be generating pressure with four. I mean, the Los Angeles Chargers have shown it, right? They're able to get pressure on Mahomes with four, with Joey Bosa and all the guys on that defensive line. And it can sometimes create some problems for Mahomes. But if the Ravens can't do that, it might be a long day. But if they can kind of shake what happened in week one against the Raiders and generate some of that pressure without blitzing, I think the Ravens could have some success. But we're going to head into our final break now, and when we get back, we're going to flip this, and Chris is going to ask me some questions about the Baltimore Ravens. So stay tuned for that.
We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron, and teams are back on to start another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. That's double your initial deposit just for signing up. Don't forget to use promo code NFL100. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet online, the fastest, easiest way to bet all of your favorite sports. Bet online, your online sports book experts.
And we return with our final segment of this crossover between Locked On Ravens and Locked On Chiefs. Kevin Ostreicher of Locked On Ravens still here with Chris Clark of Locked On Chiefs. And Chris, I'm ready for anything you have to ask me about this Baltimore Ravens team. So what do you got for me?
I really hate bringing this up because I hate talking about injuries, but you guys are so decimated right now. I look at your team and I get it. I mean, it's going to be hard to completely change the running back room. But how does that change your entire scheme? You brought in Latavius Murray. Obviously, he played a lot more in the second half than he played in the first half. I was impressed with what Williams did in the first half. And then they went to Latavius Murray, and I thought it worked out pretty well in that regard. But Baltimore still likes really running the ball. So you're going to have a running game of some sort, and you're down to, what, your fourth-string running back at this point, fifth-string running back? How's that going to work out for Baltimore? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, Chris, it's an adjustment period. I mean, as I've talked about before on many different shows, Baltimore has lost every carry, every yard, every touchdown from a player who was on their roster at the running back position in 2020. There's no more J.K. Dobbins, no more Gus Edwards, no Justice Hill. Mark Ingram is now in Houston. So they're working with an entirely new running back group. Tyson Williams is now the head of that backfield, and he has only had one game in an NFL uniform. He was on the Ravens practice squad last season. He played pretty well, though. He did have a fumble, which actually went out of bounds, really didn't have any impact on a play, and he got pretty much benched for the rest of the game, for most of the game after that. Latavius Murray, you mentioned, 10 carries for 28 yards against the Raiders, so only a 2.8 yards per carry average. Did have a nice 8-yard touchdown. But it seems like the Ravens, they're just getting used to everything right now, because with the running backs who were injured, Tyree Phillips, who was the starting left guard for the Ravens, he's on injured reserve. The Ravens at this point haven't put out anything about how serious it is, but it looked bad. He couldn't put any weight on his leg. He had to be carted off the field. So it looks like he might be done for a very long time, if not the season. So they're just adjusting to everything. Obviously, Ronnie Stanley's still coming back. And what does that do for the Ravens scheme? Well, I think it's going to have them throw the football a bit more, especially as they're adjusting. But in my opinion, they can't move away too much from what their identity has been. The Ravens have been one of the top rushing offenses in the entire NFL over the past couple of years. And yes, a lot of that does have to do with the running back talent, with Edwards, with Dobbins, what Mark Ingram was able to do. But Lamar Jackson is a threat every time to either throw the ball or run it. And they've done a lot over the years, whether it's been with RPOs or play action, with option plays. They do a lot of different stuff in their offense. But maybe this doesn't mean Lamar Jackson has to throw the ball 2%, 3% more, or the Ravens are going to ask Lamar Jackson to run it a bit more himself. Because with Gus Edwards, you're losing consistency, and I mean really good consistency. Edwards has never averaged below 5 yards a carry in each of his first 3 years in the NFL. He almost never loses yards. So to see Latavius Murray get stuffed on a 4th-and-1 against the Raiders on Monday night was a bit of a different thing for a lot of Ravens faithful out there. So the scheme in general, the Ravens were going to open up their playbook a bit. And I think the passing offense was going to take more of a front seat as opposed to what they have been doing in that regard over recent seasons. But I think the Ravens can't stray too far from what they have done that has got them so far and made them so successful, which is the running game. So I think that will still be really prevalent, but the passing offense might have to produce a bit more, especially with those injuries to running backs.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really stuck out to me was you look at the Raiders defense that really struggled last year at times throughout the entire year, and then to see what the Ravens were struggling with at different times, I was just really impressed. Or actually disappointed, I guess, is what I really should say, with the Ravens' offensive line at times, because the Raiders didn't really have much pressure at all last year. And then they let pressure on Lamar Jackson regularly, semi-regularly. So I do think that that's going to be something to watch. Although Kansas City's not good at getting pressure right now on the QB, so that might actually be working out into your favor. My next question is going to actually, I'm going to flip over to the defensive side of the ball. When you start looking at this Ravens team, the Ravens of the past were all about defense. And I'm not going to say they've gotten away from it, because I think that they still have a good defensive unit. But losing Marcus Peters is really going to hurt. How do you stop Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill if you're a Ravens defense? Because that's going to be the key to them having a chance to win this game.
Yeah, and that's a question, Chris, that the Ravens have been trying to answer for a long time now, because those two players, plus Patrick Mahomes, plus everything else that Andy Reid, Eric Bieniemy brings to this team, I mean, the Chiefs' offense is so deadly. And in terms of Hill and Kelce, you're probably going to want to put somebody on Hill who can match up with him from a physical perspective. So probably one of your fast, maybe it's Anthony Avery, who runs a 4.36. Now, obviously, that's not Tyreek Hill speed, but you have to do something, you know.
Right. Send you do help. What you have. You use what you have.
Exactly. So, you know, sending help over the top, making sure that the Ravens aren't getting beat by anything deep. The Ravens play off coverage more than I think some people would like them to, because they don't like giving up the big play. They're a bend, don't break defense. So for the Chiefs, what they've done in recent years is they've taken the short stuff that the Ravens have given them. You know, they'll throw those 9-yard completions to Travis Kelce that he'll turn into 15, 16-yard gains, right? Mahomes will move around in the pocket for a bit and find Tyreek Hill. So for those two players, with Hill, I just think sending help over the top, making sure he's not beating you deep, because he's to do that on every single play. For Kelce, though, he has been a problem, and I mean, so has Hill, but Kelce has been someone the Ravens have been trying to stop for years. Patrick Queen had a very rough game against Kansas City last season. Kelce has done some damage in previous years as well. So just, again, getting the help and making the Chiefs beat them somewhere else. You know, whether it's Mecole Hardman, is it Byron Pringle? Can they make the Chiefs throw the ball elsewhere? Because, look, I am completely okay if the Ravens are shutting down Hill and shutting down Kelce, but, you know, they're not paying as much attention elsewhere, and that's where the Ravens get beat. But if the Ravens know where the ball is going, which is, you know, the two preferred targets of Hill and Kelce, and they're still getting beat constantly, then it becomes, you know, they're keying in on it so much and they're still getting beat. You know, what is the issue? So sending help on those guys, making sure they don't get comfortable, you know, chipping Kelce at the line if that's what they have to do, making sure that he doesn't get to where he needs to go, for Hill pushing him off the line a bit if they can. But Marcus Peters is a big loss for them because they're losing that football IQ, that turnover ability, that the threat to take it to the house every single time. And that changes their defense because do they blitz more to kind of make up for that loss? Do they not blitz as much to make sure they have more help in the defensive backfield? It's all kind of a work in progress right now, which is difficult going into week two against the Kansas City Chiefs team that's among one of the best in the NFL.
Okay, I want to flip back over the offensive side. I do agree with you. I think the loss of Marcus Peters is really going to be a big factor in this game because you're right, he does have a huge football IQ, and some of the plays that he makes on the ball have just been insane to watch. But if we flip back over to the Ravens offense, you guys have always used the tight end a lot. You've kept a lot of tight ends. It seems to be something that you use on a regular basis. Kansas City now has four tight ends on their roster, and they've actually run a four tight end play. Do you think that the Ravens are going to run anything with a three tight end set and try to run the ball, or are they multifaceted when they put it out all those tight ends?
They are multifaceted. The Ravens have done a lot with their tight ends over the past couple of years. You mentioned it, Chris. They're missing Hayden Hurst, though. Hurst was traded to the Atlanta Falcons in the 2020 offseason for a second-round pick and a bit more that ended up turning into J.K. Dobbins. So not a total loss. Dobbins is one heck of a player, but they're missing that Hurst element. The Ravens have a great pass-catching tight end in Mark Andrews, who has improved his blocking over the recent years. They have a great blocking tight end in Nick Boyle, who has improved his pass-catching over the last couple of seasons. But they're kind of missing that middleman. They're hoping Josh Oliver can be that guy for them, but he only played, I believe it was 5 snaps in week 1 against the Raiders. And the other issue is Nick Boyle's not available for this game. He's on short-term IR right now. They're missing that in their offense, both for the run game and for the pass game. Boyle is like another offensive lineman on the field who can also catch the football, and that's huge for them. So what they're running now, they have Eric Tomlinson, who kind of profiles as that pure blocking tight end, doesn't do a ton in the pass catching game. The Ravens, you know, they also love to use their fullback, Patrick Ricard, who sometimes lines up in line, does a bunch of stuff. They move him around, like to motion him a lot. So they have experience working with, you know, three tight ends and a fullback, those heavy sets where they're bringing a 6th offensive lineman. And on those plays, the Ravens have seen success. Now in week 1 against the Raiders, it was a bit of a mixed bag. But I think now with that game under their belt, they now have a better understanding of, hey, this is what we can do right now with the players who are out, and this is what we can't do. And, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of what personnel you have available to you. And I mentioned the Ravens have 14 players in into reserve right now. So they're working with a couple pieces they have to get familiar with the offense and caught up to speed. So the Ravens, they can throw the football on those three tight end sets, and Oliver is a very athletic tight end coming out of San Jose State. He's kind of had some injuries throughout his career over the first 2 seasons, but overall, I think the Ravens can do some stuff both in the run and the pass game with three tight end sets. It's just a matter of how confident are they in running those right now with the new pieces.
And I just think it'll be fascinating to see if Andy Reid's the first, you know, the coach that throws a 4 tight end set at the Ravens, because I'm just so used to the Ravens having all the tight ends on the field, and Kansas City only having 1 or 2. Last quick question, Sammy Watkins, new addition this year. What have you seen from him so far? I understand, you know, first game, he did have a couple of catches, but what have you seen so far?
Yeah, Watkins led the Ravens, 4 receptions for 96 yards in week 1 against the Raiders. He's the veteran in that room. And, you know, he's not an old guy by any means, but they brought him in to, I think, be a calming, steady presence. There are certain stuff that veteran receivers can do that young guys just don't have a grasp on yet at the NFL level, working back to quarterbacks when they're in trouble, finding holes in a defense at the NFL level as opposed to college. So Watkins gives them an element of a deep speed guy. He's not just that, though. They can play him on the outside. They can put him in the slot if they want to. But he's someone who I think complements what the Ravens want to do on offense, and he's bought in. That's another thing that I think is huge, because I think we've seen sometimes, right, the Ravens last year, or I guess it was this offseason, with T.Y. Hilton and Juju Smith-Schuster, guys who the Ravens were interested in. They end up going back to their old teams. And Juju Smith-Schuster said on, I think it was the Michael Irvin podcast, that, you know, he considered Baltimore. He loves Lamar Jackson, but the offense for him was a bit too run heavy, pretty much. So Watkins is someone who was bought in. He has had issues with drops in the past. Obviously, injuries can be a key thing with him as well. He missed some time in training camp. But when he's healthy and on the field, I think people severely underestimate what he can still do. You know, he has been a very successful NFL wide receiver for a long time. He's had a couple of stops along the way, definitely. But he is someone who I'm very excited about to see what he can do next to Marquise Brown. And when Rashad Bateman comes back, you know, those guys all together, it gives Lamar Jackson a plethora of guys. And Jackson and Watkins actually have established some pretty good chemistry early on. That deep ball that Jackson and Watkins connected on late in that game against the Raiders was very encouraging. So I think Watkins is going to be able to do a lot this season, and maybe he'll be in for a revenge game against his former team. Who knows?
Yeah, and that's the key. I think one of the keys to this game is, can Watkins have a revenge game against his Chiefs team? Let's go ahead and get into some score predictions. How are you seeing this game play out?
Yeah, Chris, I'll be honest with you. There are a couple streaks here. Obviously, the Ravens and their three-game losing streak against the Chiefs. And the other one, which is, I've picked the Ravens every single time I've been on this crossover with you. So one of these streaks might have to end. Honestly, unfortunately for the Ravens, I think it will be my streak of picking the Ravens to win. I'm picking the Chiefs here. That doesn't mean the Ravens can't win. I think they're going to be in this game, but I had the Ravens winning this one before the injuries. I thought that they were finally going to be able to get over that hump of beating Kansas City. The Ravens, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens in general, they think the Chiefs are their kryptonite. So, yeah. And it's true because they just haven't been able to put the blueprint together. But the Ravens are going through a bunch of stuff right now with finding new pieces, getting everybody acclimated to their offense, their defense. They went through those struggles in week one against the Raiders, who, I mean, I think if you ask anybody, the Chiefs are a better team than the Raiders. So, you know, credit to Las Vegas and what they were able to do. But the Chiefs, with their defense, if they play the way they did in the second half, and plus getting Tyrann Mathieu and Frank Clark back and others, if that's the case, you know, for me, it'll be tough to see the Ravens coming out with a victory. I think the keys in this one, obviously, the Ravens have to do a better job protecting Lamar Jackson. They have to generate pressure on Patrick Mahomes on defense and make him confused, as you talked about. But this will be a close one, I think. I'm going 33-30 Chiefs. I think that this is a game that maybe the Chiefs jump out to a big lead. The Ravens could come back and kind of score some points, or it could be the other way around where the Ravens score a quick touchdown and the Chiefs make their comeback. But I just can't pick the Ravens in this one because of what they're going through. I don't think 0-2 for the Ravens is the end of the year by any stretch. They definitely have a lot of time to make up that ground if that is the case, and there's certainly a chance the Ravens do end up pulling out a victory. But for now, I think Kansas City comes out on top. Again, I'll say 33-30. Chris, I want to ask you, though, about your final score prediction. How are you feeling about this one?
It's the Ravens. It's the fourth time we're playing them in the past couple of seasons with Mahomes as the QB, so I do think that that plays into things. I do think the Ravens are a very good team. I will say I do think Kansas City ends up winning this game, and it's not necessarily because of maybe Kansas City. I think you are right. I think the Ravens are going through a lot of injuries, and the NFL is not doing the Ravens any favors. They have them playing on Monday Night Football in Las Vegas and having to travel across the country to play on Sunday night the next week. So, you know, they're losing a day there, plus they're having to travel, so that's not going to help. And then you have the injuries. And I think Kansas City in this situation, as long as they stay healthy throughout this week, I think they're going to be in a good situation because it sounds like they should be able to get Tyrann Mathieu back. He will be back this week. It sounds like it's possible Frank Clark is back. Willie Gay won't be back, but he's not going to be back until after at least week three. So if you're basically going into this game with full health, I think you have to be very excited as a Chiefs team. I think you are in a very good spot. And yes, you're traveling to Baltimore, which is a hard place to play, especially with fans there. But I do think this is going to be a game where Kansas City's offense is going to get going again. The question is are they going to get going because they hit big plays because Baltimore blitzes them? Or are they going to, you know, just do methodical drives like they had to do against the Browns a couple of different times? I'm not sure which way that goes right now. I know what the Ravens do usually, and it's blitz, but if you do that against Mahomes, I don't think that they've gotten home enough to where they should continue to blitz. But they seem to like blitzing, so we'll see how that works out for them. I'm going to go probably 35-24 Kansas City, although I could see easily being closer than that, maybe 35-31. It's really just going to depend late in the game. Did one team jump out to a big lead and one team's trying to claw back, or is it, you know, a close game the entire way?
Yeah, and the Chiefs have had a couple of these games against the Ravens where they've had a huge quarter, and that's kind of been the Ravens' undoing, where they just don't have enough to get back in the game, or they're giving up a huge fourth quarter. So
it's really like that. Yeah, it is. And the thing that's key, and I think I saw this a couple different places, and I really agree with it, one of the keys for Kansas City is you have to play almost a perfect game to beat them. And I don't want that to come across as cocky, but it's Kansas City just keeps doing their methodical thing, and they're just – they know what they do on offense, and they're going to convert. So if they continue doing what they're going to do, you can't make a mistake. Or if you make a mistake, they're going to make you pay for it. And that's exactly what happened to the Browns. The Browns made a couple of mistakes, and the Browns had to pay for it. So if you can play almost a perfect game, you can beat this team. They're beatable. And like Tampa Bay showed, if you can get after the quarterback with only rushing four, you can beat them. But this is a completely different offensive line than was in the Super Bowl, and I think it's going to play a lot better.
Yeah, and another thing is the Ravens cannot kick field goals and beat the Chiefs. You know, their offense is just That's too high power to do it. And the Ravens, if they struggle in the red zone, if they have to trot Justin Tucker out there, it could be a long day. But the Ravens have had very efficient red zone offenses, especially with the run game. But again, it's can the new pieces pick up that slack and be an efficient red zone offense? So that's why I think the Ravens ultimately lose this game. But I think some people are selling the Ravens a bit short, saying, oh, this is going to be 40-0 Chiefs, or is it going to be 50-17? These are two good football teams. I'm excited to see what they end up putting together as a football game on Sunday night. But Chris, I think that's all that we have. Thank you so much for coming on here, talking to me. And I am looking forward to a very exciting game between these two football teams.
Appreciate it, Kevin. It's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Thanks so much. And that's going to do it here for our crossover of Locked On Ravens and Locked On Chiefs. We'll be back tomorrow with our respective shows. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you tomorrow.